This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 74. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Just out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hello, Amanda.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, my voice is back. Somewhat.
I disagree. It's now like 80%.
Yeah, it's no, and we're recording this in the morning. By this afternoon, it'll be gone again. So
yeah.
I'm not sure how to rest it if I'm doing a lot of recording.
You know, you need to be careful because did you see what happened with Dr. Fauci?
No.
He had that raspy voice for so long and he actually had to have something removed from it. And the doctors all said it's from talking too much.
Ooh.
Oh. So he had surgery and now he can't talk at all for like until he recovers from surgery.
Okay. That would not be good with everything going on right now. Cause
yeah, you got to take this seriously, man.
So I need to stop yelling in my other show.
Well, for sure, you need to stop yelling.
Well, I do a lot of yelling.
You also may need to take a pause from talking.
I did that last weekend, though. I took a whole weekend off and messed up all my stats. So
yeah, well, then maybe you need to do your recording and hold up signs.
Well, it is a webcam show. Yeah, so, there all you right. go. Well, I don't think that'll work very well. I do need to be careful. I had no idea. I'm going to go read about Fauci, and that will probably scare me into it. So.
Right. Yeah, because you haven't heard from him in a while, and that's why. Well, that's one of the reasons.
Well, I don't watch the news. So, all right. What are we doing today? We got some special stuff today.
We do. So we've got a number of social media questions. Our lucky... Oh, we have seven today. Seven. But I thought it'd also be fun to start off with a short... I guess we can call it a savvy savings topic and talk about impulse buys.
Ooh, that sounds good. First, you want to do the questions first or savvy savings?
No, let's talk about some impulse buys.
All right, let's do that. What you got?
Well, I was going to ask you, what have you... this year, 2020, the crazy 2020, have you had any impulse buys?
Impulse. You know what? Okay, this is completely different for me. I've grown so much about money. I am super careful about buying anything now. So I don't have an answer for you because even if I buy something now, I sell something on eBay if I want to upgrade it. So I'm always, I'm trying to finagle money and then justify every purchase, which makes no sense with the money I have. But I am careful now. Now in the past, I think I've may have, well, I bought a house as an impulse.
What? Not this year, though.
No. This is in the, 2002, 2003. My neighbor in my old neighborhood, he had a tow truck and he had a plow on it. We had a lot of snow. He plowed his snow and pushed it in front of my driveway. I got so pissed off. I told the family, get in the car. We're going to buy a house. We went up the street. They're building a brand new neighborhood. And that's where I live now. I bought a house because I was so pissed off. The house was small anyway. It was 1,300 square feet. Yeah. And I went to a 5,000 square foot house. I literally bought the biggest. I said, I went in there with jeans and a t-shirt. This is so impulse. I mean, this goes right what you're saying. I said, they showed me the small house. They show me the biggest one you have. I'm like, I want that.
Oh my goodness. For the record, everyone, I had no idea that Craig had done this in the past. This was just a random question I had.
I'm very complex. I got a story for everything you want to ask. And that's true scoop. I bought a house same day I got pissed off at my neighbor.
That's hilarious.
That's straight scoop. So there you go.
So those who don't know, an impulse purchase or impulse buy is an unplanned decision to buy a product or service or apparently a house.
A house. Nobody can top that impulse.
I don't think so. That's I mean, except for some of these eccentric billionaires. But
well,
Yeah. But so you only decide to buy it right before you purchase it.
Right.
Yeah. So I do have 10.
Wait a minute. What have you done? I want to know your impulse buy.
Oh, my impulse.
You have to have one. You can't just sit there and ask me. I honestly can't come up with one right now. Okay.
I don't think I'm that impulsive.
I'm generally not. I'm definitely not now.
My impulses tend to be donations.
Yeah.
I am like gooey inside when it comes to like donating to like wildlife rescue places or animal rescues or starving children.
I'm with you. I'm a very giving person, and I'm actually trying to back off because people have used me with that, and yeah. I'm being very careful because you can be so giving and people take advantage of it.
Oh, you know what? I'm an impulse buyer at times when it comes to TJ Maxx or Home Goods or Ross. I wander around just looking for something to buy that I hadn't planned, you know?
That also happens at Costco. I think TJ Maxx, but that's why it's there. That's why they have the hot dogs, right? Yep. What do they call those hot dogs? It's a loss leader.
Yes.
So they have that in TJ Maxx. I think all those, or people, a lot of people like to do it at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Same thing. If people like to go browse, they end up buying stuff.
Yeah. So I do have real quick 10 tactics that retailers use to encourage impulse buying.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So the first one is they create a path for customers to follow. And of course, Costco is one of the...
They're famous for it.
The famous ones for that. So they like to lead you through the store in a certain route, especially now that there's all these arrows on paths to keep everyone moving in the same direction.
Or when they had the sample foods, because, you know, I like to hit all of them. I like to see what foods they have I can eat, but now they don't have it, but...
Last time I was at Costco, they're doing visual samples now. So they're just behind like a plexiglass. They show you one product in its packaging.
That's dumb. That's stupid.
It is dumb. I can see the package on the shelf. I don't need you to stand here and show it to me.
Exactly.
Anyway, so the second one is they place lower priced impulse buys near the checkout. When you're standing in line to check out, you have all these small little knickknacks that I think of them as like stocking stuffers around the holidays. You see all these little small things that are a couple bucks, like playing cards or famously like flash drives. I see those by checkout.
Or the stuff kids will bug their mom about.
Yeah, candy. Of course. Yeah. Not just kids, sometimes husbands, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't going to... generally, except for Craig, aren't going to impulsively spend $1,000 without a second thought, but they might spend, you know, $2 without thinking twice.
That house was more than $1,000, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. Bath and Body Works, Ulta, they have all these racks of like tiny little face creams that are like $25.
I've never been in an Ulta. That's a great stock. There is one near me. I need to go just see what it's like. So,
yeah. Anyway. Come back the wheels of time. You know, you can't put a price on youth, right?
That's right. I'm 57 at this point. You're just like, whatever.
So the third one is display impulse products around high yield demand items. So if you're like me, when you think about impulse buys, you picture the long structured displays leading to the checkout counter, like in Home Goods, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have a long checkout line and it's just lined with things, even like pet toys. Mm-hmm. You see mugs, you see home decor, everything. Greeting cards. They have everything in that long aisle. So that's where they capitalize on impulse buying. You know, when people are sitting and waiting, they get bored pretty easily.
Like Best Buy has all that candy in that line. Candy has nothing to do with electronics, but they have all this crap that has nothing to do with Best Buy while you're standing in line and you just grab the Twizzlers or the gummy bears.
Or, you know, if you're in grocery stores, a lot of times they'll put like a pizza cutter next to the frozen pizzas or like waffle cones next to the ice cream freezer. You know, they just kind of pair things together so that if you're buying one thing, you think, oh, I should get this other thing as well.
It's smart marketing, though.
So number four, they use the right language to communicate urgency.
That's true.
Yeah. So if you create a sense of urgency in customers, so impulse generally draws on one of two emotions, shoppers' wants or staple items, right?
Right.
So that's why candy and socks are two things you often see near the checkout lines. So candy is obviously a want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well.
Socks may be a need if you've got holes in your socks and you're not very good at darning. Yeah. Yeah. So they'll use things like buy it now or get it before it's gone, or like even they'll display, you know, fake sale prices like two for the price of $4 when normally they'd be $1.99 each. Number five, they anticipate customer needs. So they buy impulsively. It might be the same products as your neighbor stores, or they might be completely different, but, understanding the best products for your impulse buy displays is all about knowing customers and being able to anticipate needs. You know, you might respond to bottled water or chapstick in the checkout line, but you could tailor what's in your impulse checkout line based on your standard demographic of customer.
That makes sense.
Yeah, maybe scented candles if you know, like Home Goods.
Yes.
Home Goods seems to be like the expert at impulse buy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't been in Home Goods in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, people are staying in their houses. Number six, you draw attention to impulse buys. So like Home Goods takes advantage of that captive audience in the line waiting. Maybe that's why they take their time with checking out. It always seems to be a long line. You know, you use things like signage to display, you know, urgency. You use lighting. So you use all different bright colors. And then color, of course, you know, maybe you're using red tags to indicate it might be on sale or create that emotion of sale.
Yeah.
Number seven, you choose products that require little consideration. So obviously high price products aren't great for encouraging impulsivity, but little add-ons at the checkouts, you know, people often don't think twice. And even gas stations have things right at the checkout, right?
Where God.
Yeah, just toss that on.
Yeah, 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm. Or like an Old Navy flip-flops. You know, they put those by in the summer.
Yes.
Yep. Number eight, offering product samples or demos. So Costco was the gold standard for that, right? The food sample stations. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that tastes great. Let me grab a box of Oreos.
It's a great place to take a date for dinner. We're going to Costco for samples.
Yeah, maybe you didn't come in there thinking you were going to get some vegan muffins, but, you know, hey, that was a great sample.
Yes.
Oreos. Or you know, like Sephora or a lot of the department stores do makeovers.
Yes.
Like makeup samples. And then you end up buying makeup you didn't think you came in for. Mm-hmm. Number nine, showcasing seasonal items.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. Like,
and we're getting ready to get into that now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're now September and Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all out already.
Yeah. And when I walked into Costco last week, the one of the first things, you know, Costco actually hits you on the way in and the way out because they've got this whole line of the things that are possibly on sale when you first walk in the door. Right. And then right after that, they have the seasonal things oftentimes. And I saw the whole rack of kids' Halloween costumes.
It's like, man. Oh, that's right. What happens if they cancel Halloween this year?
Oh, yeah, because you don't want to be giving
up. That. Oh, yeah. That sucks.
That's going to suck.
Yeah, being a kid right now during Corona sucks. You're really getting screwed over. All right. Yeah.
And then the last one, number 10, training floor staff to encourage impulse buying. So I know a lot of places actually incentivize their staff to do add-on sales. You know, they call them the upsell. Even when you go through a drive-thru, I guess the famous one like years and years ago was McDonald's saying, do you want fries with that? Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But they still do that. You know, if you go in to order a burger, they say, do you want that in the value meal? Right.
Did you ever work retail at all?
Did I ever work? I did. Yes. I worked at a Babies R Us once.
So did you have that incentivization thing where you get spiffs? We talked about this before. They call it spiffs.
I did not. No.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
And I worked at a gas station.
Do they still use that term, spiff?
I had not heard that, no. And I worked at a gas station as well when I was in high school and doing as a cashier. But we definitely were encouraged to do upsells. And then, you know, the secret shopper program, that's one of the things they would mark you off if you didn't make a suggestive sale. That's what they called it, a suggestive sale.
Now, did I ever reveal I worked at Radio Shack before? I know you're not shocked by that fact that I worked at Radio Shack.
Yes, you have. Yeah.
So when we worked at Radio Shack, you remember you've been to Radio Shack back in the day, right?
I've never actually found anything useful at a Radio Shack.
I'm not. I know. I get it. We're different in that. But remember, if you ever go to Radio Shack, they used to use regular paper and write down your stuff and take your name and address, anything. But they would look and see if you are doing add-ons. And then if there are certain add-ons that you get spiffs, so you get bonus money for adding on. Like if you buy a printer, nobody buys printers anymore. But when you did, you want to add the paper onto it, the cable. And the money is actually not the printer. It's all the add-ons. That's where the company makes all the money. Just like Best Buy. You buy a TV. Well, they're going to try and sell you the $50 DVD cable. I mean, HDMI cable, which you can get on Amazon for $5. They're selling for $50. They're making all the profit from that stuff. But anyway, so.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a huge difference to retailers. All these small little add-ons can add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
That's the profit. It's not the computer you're buying. It's all the other stuff they're going to add on to it. That's the profit. That's marked way up because you're there.
Like you're captive. Ink.
Yes, ink. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They'll give you the printer away for free because the ink is so profitable.
That's why the printer is $50. They're going to make so much money on that ink. Yeah. That's why
oftentimes when you buy a computer, they'll throw in a printer for free and then say, and sign up for our automatic ink delivery program.
And that software pops up on your computer after you install the HP printer. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can order right there by clicking. And trust me, it works or they wouldn't be doing it. So.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's just a little bit about impulse buys. So my impulse buys tend to fall along the lines of the 10 mind games that the retailers play with you. So I'm definitely guilty of Home Goods. Although my sisters will tell you, a lot of times I go into Home Goods and I love shopping there, but I'll put a bunch of things in my cart and then probably half the time I abandon the cart.
You've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because I'm like, oh, do I really need this? Probably not. All right. And then also, if the line looks too long, I'm like, I don't need this that badly.
But when you're watching TV in the middle of the night, like lately, Sarah McLachlan music starts and the little puppy dog is,
Yep. Then I oftentimes, and the only mail I get nowadays, because I actually sent in a form that takes me off all of the solicitation lists. So you can do that. And I'll talk about it in a different Savvy Savings segment. But the only mail I get now are solicitations to send additional money to places I've already sent money. So I'm already on their approved list.
Yeah.
And they know I'm a sucker. So
No. And they trust me, these marketing companies, they know who gives money. And once you do it once, you're in there.
Plus, they entice me with like, hey, if you donate $35, you'll get this cool new tote bag. I have so many stupid tote bags and I don't even use tote bags.
Panda tote bag.
And you might get a stuffed animal and you get to pick which stuffed animal.
Like if you ever donate money to a political party, oh my God, they have got you now and they will hammer you for that money after that. But if I've stopped, nobody ever contacts me anymore for donations.
Yeah. So that's my impulse. Home Goods and donations for the needy mostly animals.
And pandas. But sometimes. And bears. And yeah. Kitty exactly. cats.
Mm. Polar bears awesome. Get me because, you know, the ice is melting.
It is. And I don't have an answer for any of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about we take a break? And we'll be right back with some questions from the viewers.
That sounds good.
All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, I will be honored to help you find an expert to work with in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I will help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation properties, or you're a first-time home buyer or even a seasoned buyer, let me help connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money, Craig and Amanda. And we got some social media questions. And
this is an exciting episode. Savvy Savings is back.
We got a lot.
Social media.
It's like a mega episode. I love it. So let's jump into the questions. This is a packed show. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Social media question 1. Should you continue to contribute to your company 401k if they stopped matching?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Social media question 2.
Now, I will say this, though. The general rule of thumb is if you're with a small company, you know, let's say, I don't know, what, 10 employees or something like that. Typically, yeah. The 401ks are not that great. There are more fees and commissions. So you need to kind of look at that. So if you don't have a lot there, if there is no match, go do the IRA first and then come back to the 401k.
Roth so. IRA.
IRA, I'm sorry. Do the IRA Roth first, max that
Roth,
out.
Roth.
And then come back to the company 401k afterwards. So that way, now if you're with a big major company, typically the fees and commissions are super low or even non-existent. So yes, do your 401k first. So, but small business, they typically don't get all those benefits of the larger corporations. So that would be
and
my only caveat.
We've always said that the company match is icing on the cake and should never be something that you're counting on.
And we said that before coronavirus. And then what happened? A lot of companies stopped temporarily the match. Not all of them.
So that shouldn't be, it should not be part of your calculation for your 15%.
Nope.
It's always been icing on the cake.
Absolutely. So that is icing. That is great if you have an employer that does a match. A decent one. Not this. Yeah. The train leaves Chicago at 45 miles an hour. All that's kind of crazy math, match, crap, whatever. Just make it simple. Question number 2, Amanda.
Oh, I'm going to read this one for you.
Because you saw the word financial advisor. You love doing this to me.
I saw that and I saw whole life insurance.
Oh, my God. All right.
What does it mean when a financial advisor says that you should convert term insurance to whole life insurance? I heard term is all you need. Retirement accounts should handle what? Whole life? Correct.
All right. So here's my answer. You know what it means when a financial advisor says that you should convert term insurance to whole life? You know what it really means? Go find another financial advisor. That's exactly what that means. Do not listen to that person. They're making money off you.
It means they're looking to make bank off of you.
And they make a huge commission on whole life. That's the person you stay away from. I would not trust that person. If they even mention whole life, to me, that's a trigger. That's a red flag, Amanda.
It's totally a red flag.
It's total red flag because they are not there for you. They are there for themselves and their pocketbook, their wallet. And that BMW sitting down the parking lot. That's what that means. And I have no other explanation. That's it. Run. Run.
Yeah. And if you go to our website, rockonthemoney.com, and just type in the search bar whole life.
How many times have we talked about that?
At least four or five.
Yeah.
But the top two results that'll come up, you'll get three reasons cash value whole life insurance is a bad idea. So that's an article. And then we also have a short segment from our podcast. So it's only a few minutes, but the Rock on the Money short, three ways your cash value whole life insurance is a bad idea. So you can either listen to that or you can read the article.
I do want to point out what they said in that. They said, I heard term is all you need. Absolutely correct.
Correct. Yeah.
The only time you would ever need whole life, and I doubt anybody here is in that position, is if you're rich. Because apparently there is a strategy with wealthy people. We are not in that camp, guys. So no. You know, no.
Yeah.
The answer is run. Go find another financial advisor if you really need one, as we talked about in the last episode, 73. So,
All right. So here's another one for you, Craig. Thanks for getting
me all fired up. My voice is going away now.
Yeah. So another one for you. Oh, number three. I've just completed BS3. I'm not
Baby
sure what that is.
Baby step three. Gotcha. Yep. That's okay. BS it's meant. Not. It's not the bad word. It's baby step. Yes.
I'm looking into where to invest my 15%. I'm interested in real estate investing. Anyone involved with real estate as a landlord, etc. Okay. So when we say invest 15%,
you're a landlord.
Yeah. But when we say invest 15%, we mean, and Dave Ramsey means, into your retirement account. Right. Not
like real your estate. IRA 401k. You're not buying real estate. No.
You're not doing that until you're done with all of the baby steps.
Right. Yeah. You have to get through baby step 7. Then we go back and we increase everything. Then you can go crazy investing in all the other things. Because by that point, you've learned a lot about financing to get to baby step 7. To get to baby step 7. So now we max out. We really start dumping even more money into our retirement, but we're also enjoying life as well at the same time.
Right.
And then if you want to do real estate and stuff, that's fine. But we need the foundation of a retirement account of IRA, 401k. That's your foundation, people. Don't make it complicated. No real estate investing.
Yeah. No. The only thing I would say is there are real estate sector ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
So if within your Roth IRA, you're really passionate about real estate, you can pick an ETF. That's an index fund, basically. Mm. Well, it's a mix. So that would be a way that you could get real estate sector exposure without all of the high risk and responsibility of being a landlord in one property. So Vanguard has a real estate ETF. It's called VNQ. That's one of the better ones. Okay. Great income producing. It has a yield of 4.1%. So less than the S&P 500.
Yes.
But if that's your passion, it's your passion. So it's going to be lower than the S&P 500 that we continue to suggest. iShares Core U.S. Real Estate Fund is called, it's under the symbol USRT. It has about 155 holdings, contains 50 of the largest REIT companies. That one has an expense ratio that's very low. It's 0.8%. And then there's others, you know, so, but again, I don't know of any that beat the S&P 500 index. So that's where you should be putting your money unless you prefer not to make as much money.
Some of the real estate ones that I like, because I'm a technology guy, you can actually do real estate investing in technology. And what do I mean by that, Amanda? It's the real estate. There are companies that do nothing but real estate for the towers, for 5G, for cell phone towers, or finding the properties to put these cloud data centers in that Microsoft, Apple, I mean, everybody uses. So some of those things are called Welltower. These are stocks, actually, not really ETFs. Mm-hmm. But if you can find an ETF that has Welltower, like Store Capital, Agree Realty, the symbols like Well, S-T-O-R, or ADC, stuff like that. So you can actually combine real estate with technology, and that's not going away anytime soon. So right, anything that has to do with the cloud, that's where I like doing my real estate investing. It doesn't have to be a house or apartment buildings. So I need people to think differently about real estate also. I'm totally on board with like what Amanda does with you doing properties and renting them. But I don't think people realize different aspects of real estate that you can really make bank on. So
I just want to throw that out there. Those are suggestions there.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. I'm ready to go invest.
Yeah.
But no, you can't. You're on baby step three. Last question, Amanda.
Okay.
I think this is pretty simple. I'm going to throw it at you. Okay. And I'm not giving it to you because you're blonde and it's an easy question. I just, I've been answering a lot. So. Do you include, I'm not stereotyping whatsoever. You're definitely smarter than me.
You are. That was like a backhanded comment.
No. You know, keep five friends around you. You bring me, you make me smart. You correct all my English.
Yes.
Because I'm an idiot. Here's a question. She doesn't question.
I like
that,
how you use self-deprecation to try and recover from the fact that you made up a blonde insinuation about me.
You educated people drive me nuts. You caught that. Here's a question. Do you include your emergency fund when calculating your net worth calculations?
Yes. Yeah, everything you have in terms of assets, you would put into the calculation. So your checking account, your emergency savings account, your long-term savings account, your IRA, your 401k, your house, your car, everything that you own that is an asset goes into your assets column. And then, that is your big number as part of your net worth calculation. And then you subtract from that everything that you have as a debt.
Yep. There you go. And we just went over this in the previous episode of 73.
So this is a great follow-up question.
It's a great follow-up. So that's probably where that came from. So, but it's still an asset. So even though it's your emergency fund, it's an asset.
Correct.
So there you go. All right. Well, thank you, Amanda. That was great. I think this was a great pack show. I love it. This is probably one of our best ones.
Right. And now I have to go dye my hair or something other than blonde. Sorry.
I'm old, so we even out. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
You bet.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at RocklandUSA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.